Hey, hello everybody. It is Suzanne with an energy update, another client's story that I have permission to share on an anonymous basis. And I think this one is super important because most every single one of us walking on this plane of existence is indeed going to lose a loved one to death, because ultimately we're all going to die. And I think that it is very difficult for us to even understand how to maybe move forward in life sometimes after death, because sadly, our human existence right now does not necessarily support the concept of the death culture in a positive way. We are very trained from day one to fear death. We are very confused about death. Death is not a subject that people like to chat about, and I'm hoping that some of these energy updates is going to possibly open up the paradigm thought of that. If stuff that I say resonates, great. If not, just let it go. But especially when it comes to death, we have very rigid belief systems oftentimes from those that we have grown up with or surround ourselves with. And most of the time, when it comes to death, they're not positive. And a lot of times, people will end up in my office because they are still grieving in a way that does not necessarily make others comfortable. They are getting pushed by, you know, someone else or themselves to get over it or move on. And this particular client was a 79-year-old gal, lady, who was delightful, 79 years old, had lost her, I think it was at least second husband. It might have even been a third, but I think it was a second husband. Probably close to over, not quite 3 years ago. And her family, I think, is the one that kind of gifted her this session, because I think her family, one of them being a client of mine, was a little bit concerned on how she's maybe not moving forward the way that they would like to see it, meaning she still talks an awful lot about her husband, and she, you know, really brings it up a lot, making other people uncomfortable. Still has things in the house exactly how it was, one being a shirt of his that she, you know, keeps at bedside, etc. Now, this is really important for us to understand that people grieve in different ways, and there is no timeline on grief. There is no actual instruction set book on grief. Every single one of us grieves the losses of death differently. And it is okay for you to do it your way, because in essence, nobody can tell you how to do it anyway. And what I thought was so interesting about this is, I think from the family's perspective, they were a little bit concerned. And yet when she sat in my office and started to share some stories, she actually is having some incredibly beautiful and awesome experiences from her dead husband from the other side of the veil. He gives her multiple, and I'm going to say it again, multiple signs on a weekly basis of his existence in oneness still, meaning his spiritual potential to come into this plane of reality and give her messages, whether it is, you know, the radio going on all by itself with a song that makes sense, or, you know, I don't necessarily think that there's always a normal way these messages come through. It could be, you know, a certain bird, it could be the lights flickering, it could be, you know, something moved, it could be all of a sudden my necklace is on my bed instead of in my drawer. I mean, we can have profound experiences from loved ones on the other side. At the very same time, we can have nothing from those loved ones on the other side. And this is another thing that I encounter oftentimes when clients come in. I haven't got any signs. I must not be connected, or he or she must not love me enough to show me a sign. And that, again, is not the case either. We need to remember that when that so-called person dies and goes to the other side of the veil, if we want to use that wording, they're in spirit form, but that doesn't mean that their consciousness is done working. And I don't believe that, personally, that it is that much different on the other side of the veil, meaning we have jobs, we have things to do, we have things to learn, we learn to atone for things, we welcome others that are coming across the veil. We are learning what we need to and want to do next in other lifetimes and so forth. So many, many times our loved ones, if they're not giving us signs, it's simply because they're busy. And that sounds very 3D, but it is very true that they are busy. Another reason why we can't necessarily always get the signs is because it's us. It's us that is either waiting for that sign to come through in a certain way and at the very same time missing all of the ways it is coming through because we're expecting or have, already decided or determined that this means it's real and that doesn't. And so it's very important for us to just be open and present. And then thirdly, it's important for us to also ask. It's important for us to communicate. Now, this particular 79-year-old gal was adorable. She said, "Is it weird that I talk to him all the time?" And I'm like, I personally don't think that's weird at all. I mean, we have a dear, dear friend that we lost up at the cabin. And, you know, we always talk about him at the fire because he was part of the gang at the fire. I mean, gosh, way back when we used to crack a Bud Light for him and set it out just for giggles because he was the only one that drank that gross beer. And we would laugh and literally put a can out just on behalf of him because we thought it was funny. And oftentimes when that happens, you're putting that intentional energy out. And then sure enough, if you're really attuned, you can feel that frequency vibration change around the fire because like does find like. Asking does bring them forward. Not every time, but asking does bring them forward a lot. So I thought it was really super cute that she's like, "Is it okay if I talk to him?" And I thought that that was really adorable. I don't have to give her permission. Nobody has to give her permission. She can take that permission from her own head and heart. Most of the time when I have a client come in that has lost somebody and is struggling in the grief process, almost the identical words come out of their mouth. "I just want to know if they're okay." And it takes almost all I have to not giggle because it's so amazing to me that a human being walking around here that has lost somebody wonders if they're okay. We know exactly what we're doing when we die. Our soul contract understands fully from a higher perspective of our higher consciousness self that a return to source energy is part of this process. And we have to return to source energy to then keep moving forward in creation overall, much less our creation of our soul and our soul's paths. And whether you want to think of reincarnation and believe in past lives and future lives or not, my personal belief system is it has to be. This is how we evolve, not only as a human and as a soul, but as a whole entire collective and planetary system and multi-universe and on it goes. The God source does not have a body. It needs different bodies of existence to create. And the human form is one of those bodies or formulations of the God source that embodies those energies to help create. And when we're in between those incarnations, we have to be what we would consider okay in some regards because we do, from a higher perspective, know exactly what we're doing. We are in a process of examining, you know, our book of life, our Akashic records, if we want to call them that. We are looking at not only our individual embodiment of a life led, but how does that correlate or play into anything karmic that we have maybe brought in or released? And how does that play into bigger creational puzzle pieces on the overall maybe planet, the overall humanity, the overall cosmos, maybe other universes, etc.? When we are in between these lifetimes, remember there is no time, and time is something that we have here in 3D. And when we are in those places of existence in between, the word, "Are they okay?" or that phrase, "Are they okay?" to me just makes me, like I said, almost want to giggle. And I don't want to giggle because that sounds disrespectful, but it's like, how can we not be okay? We are literally in co-creation mode, as we are, by the way, every day, all day. But in that sense, when we don't have an embodiment, we are one with everything, and our knowledge is fully returned. Our ability to remember what we know is back, and not necessarily 100% until we fully, merge with and align with our 100% source energy. We are, again, in my opinion, when we die, doing all kinds of different things. Some of us that are sick are still rehabbing. Some of us that are addicted are still rehabbing. Some of us that are have done evil tasks are still atoning. Some of us are looking for forgiveness. Some of us are greeting others coming across the veil and helping them go through all of these processes. Some of us are really working with higher angelics and soul contracts to move forward into bigger experiences, and on and on and on it goes. So when somebody down here in 3D is worried about somebody, where did they go? What are they doing? Are they okay? This is because of the fact that we are a really limited, ignorant human race of what happens in between lives. And I'm not saying my perspective is 100% right, but I do know from being able to tap into spirit and watching them cross and watching them feel the joy of returning to source and literally embodying the feeling and the overall joy and emotional state of what we would call returning home and really being able to fully engage again with my, you know, mother who died, you know, 60 years ago and my dog that died, you know, 40 years ago and on, we have pets, we have loved ones, we have all kinds of amazing experiences that I, as an energy practitioner who works crossing people, have felt. And I think that we need to understand everybody's okay over there. We get to die. And this is a tough concept for people. We get to die. We don't just die, we get to die. And when we get to die, our higher self knows exactly what it's doing. And whether this lower self is directly in alignment with that at the point of death, or if it takes, you know, days or months or years or lifetimes, that's here nor there. We are still what we would consider okay. So I think this is very important because lots and lots of us grew up with a God concept. Being a 79-year-old woman, she definitely grew up with a very limited, disconnected God concept that God is a guy on a cloud and I have to be careful and I have to, you know, do it right or I might go to hell. And she asked me a lot about hell and what I thought about hell. And me, particularly, individually, I don't believe that there's any hell that's a place. Just like I don't believe that there's any heaven that is a place. My opinion, again, is when we're out of these meat bodies and we're back to full consciousness, that it is literally consciousness. And within consciousness, we can co-create anything, just like we do here, by the way, in this reality. We're just not aware of it. But we definitely can co-create a vision or a version of a place or a space. And this is really important for us to understand and possibly, if we choose, open our paradigm up a little bit before we do our own personal death process, much less when we worry about losing someone we love, because we will co-create our death per our belief systems. So if I believe that I'm going to die and I'm going to go to some fiery hell because of all the shit I've done in life and I deserve that, most definitely I'm going to be able to create that in my death experience. That very same person, that exact same situation, if I changed that perspective and had a different thought process and core belief system, I would not have that experience. If I believed my loved ones will be there to greet me, they will be there. If I don't believe they will, they won't. And so it is very important for us to know those loved ones are still there. They have every potentiality to be there. They are indeed there. It is you that is not letting that perspective in because of the belief system. So it's very important for us to know that everybody's okay. I mean, she was adorable because, again, being 79, she has lost different people. She wanted to know how her brother was. She wanted to know how a baby that she had lost was. All of these different individuals, if our belief system allows it, will be there to meet and greet us. That doesn't mean that we're going to hang out like we do in 3D. It's not like we're all going to go bowling, but if we want to think like that, that's fine too. Again, it's a perspective, it's a thought, it's a belief. But the reality is we always will find our loved ones if we choose to. We don't necessarily hang out with them on an ongoing basis because of the fact that even in consciousness in between lives, we will resonate at a frequency and a vibration level per what our beliefs are in alignment with higher source. Meaning, if I still carry some energies of needed work, if I still have to do forgiveness and atonement, if I still have some fear-based things courting me, I will be at what we would call a lower frequency. Even crossed, I will be at a lower frequency. Or if I'm a higher elevated soul, if I have been there, done that, you know, in many, many different incarnations, etc., I would be at a higher frequency, more love-based, even on the other side of the veil. So if I'm a higher and somebody's lower, just like down here, it's not a value system. It doesn't mean good or better, but it does indeed be a different frequency. And so like finds like here on this plane just as much as in between planes and on the other side of the veil. We will directly align with those where our frequencies are at or higher or lower, depending on what the needs are. And so most of the time we're resonating with a like finds like. So it's very important for us to, if we choose to open our mind to this, do the work now when we're in meat and body form to clear that frequency so that the day that we do experience that meat and bone death, we do cross that veil at a frequency that is for our highest and best right out of the gate. And, you know, you either do the work here or you do the work there is basically kind of what I'm getting at. So I think that it was super, super important to share this because many, many, many clients have come to me want to know if somebody's okay after they're dead. And I have rarely found a so-called dead person not okay. There are some instances when we have had a tragic death, a suicide possibly, even just a regular death. If we hold a lot of fear, anxiousness, obviously the meat body is going to eventually terminate, but I can still hold a lot of that confusion, that fear, that anger, that angst, mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual, and with or without that meat body, I'm still going to have to do the work. So it's not that I'm even still not okay, because I am at a different level of knowingness and potential support systems that I open up to faster, even if I'm that one that needs a lot of help. The benevolent help, meaning the higher help, the angelics, the God source energy, the you know, the souls that are there will always be in existence when I am at that state of not having a meat body. So it's important for us to understand, regardless of how sad a death may have been or how screwed up somebody's mind might have been or you know, ego may have been, even those so-called kinds of people when dead are okay to some extent. They may indeed be doing more work, but they are from a perspective of knowingness, easier to remember what they know. So hopefully this helped out a little bit. She was delightful. I always love having somebody almost 80 years old walk into my room and they kind of, you know, open up that brain a little bit. There's always time to learn, and I'm not saying my teaching is having to be your truth, but let this ponder and think a little bit bigger and think a little bit more magical. And again, remember, we get to die. We do know what we're doing. So until next, cosmic hugs.